If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This is The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
See, I feel like I want to believe that this is just the song randomly that Johnny decided to play. But coming off the last conversation where Sean dropped a "You Like Them Young" thing on me for some reason, now we're coming back with "Not Like Us."
He loves
with the A minor line.
He loves some quarterbacks born in the 2000s.
I'm sorry, I respect rookie quarterbacks that think they can win over like some geezer like Matt Stafford, someone my age. I happen to believe of someone of Matt Stafford's age or close to it. I happen to know how my body feels, and I know Stafford, being an NFL player, can't feel a whole lot better. That's all I'm saying. Give me the young guys with the young legs. Don't isolate. Clip that. I love that. We don't need that. Like we had the Russia thing a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
That'll
be my worst person in sports.
No, it was a pro-China take, I think.
B-Max pro-China. That's what it was.
That's a problem.
But if you're a person born in the 2000s, just know B-Max. B-Max supports you.
Look, I'm happily married, but that is a hard cutoff. like just mentally, like, no.
Oh, yeah, we did do the math.
Yeah, like the whole half your age plus 7 thing would be 27, but no. I think part of it is, like, we're going to talk Astros here, but now we're diving into the weeds.
I really want to know, because you went, the thing about it is, and then a long pause, I'm like, oh my God, he's really going to.
Screw it, it's Saturday, I don't care. Let's let the bullets fly. I can't get these takes off during the Killer Bees, are you kidding me? Where else am I going to get them
not
off?
These, you can get a lot of takes
I
off.
I can get a lot of takes off. I cannot get these, Jeremy and Joel would not allow that. No, but seriously, again, happily married, it's not going to happen. But I'll just put it up front. But, like, in a
well, hang on. What did you say during a break? Not that
no,
long
no.
Ago.
What happens in the break stays in the break.
Oh, okay.
Respect the silence of the break.
I also had that same
No. What happens in the break stays in the break. That's, no, okay. Silence. But, no, I've had the thought. I think, like, beyond just the, like, okay, there would be a hard 2000 cutoff. Like, year 2000 born cutoff, like, that, I couldn't get past that. The other part of it would be, even with that, because that would make them 20, oh, God, they'd be 24. Oh, God, it's even worse. No, but it would have to be, like, an age, like, if I were, like, hey, this is my new girlfriend or whatever, and I introduced them to you guys, and you found out what age she is.
She has to be older than me.
Well, yes, but it had to be an age where you guys wouldn't go, oh.
I wouldn't.
You know what I mean? Like,
You think I'm way more judgmental than I am.
Well, I'm not saying you necessarily specifically, but just like any group of friends or coworkers or acquaintances, whoever. Like if I introduce and like it, when I leave the room and they're not like, really? Like that's kind of the whatever. And now maybe that's individual to each person I would come in contact with. Yeah. But I think like right now for me, I'm as a 41-year-old man, I think that age cutoff would be like 33. Like where anyone younger than that, people would be like, okay. I don't know.
Okay.
We probably spent way too much time on this.
Thank you for explaining your thoughts.
We can have the same conversation the other way with Sean. Like, we know how young B-Mac will go. How old would
how old would you go, Sean?
I don't know.
Have you ever dated someone older?
No. Not, like, significantly.
Not significantly? Okay.
They're both, like, a couple months older. 6 months older.
Okay.
I don't know.
I wasn't sure because Paul Gallant's dating life comes up on the show all the time. But you've done a good job of keeping it professional and keeping your own relationships out of the conversation.
I would say like once you get past like 34, 35,
that would be your You're cut off.
Yeah, I mean, I know Sean well from the years we've worked together here. I don't know him a ton outside of this building, but he does strike me. There is like a vibe from you that you would date somebody and then like mid to late 30s, like maybe even early 40s. You just give off that vibe.
What would you call that vibe?
Well, I don't know.
What specifically goes
yeah, what specifically, what specifically about the way Sean
maybe it's like
looks
the
and acts says
maybe it's the tennis
oldies.
Headbands. Maybe it's, I don't know what it is. It's
just, anyone? Are you saying that Sean wants a sugar mama? Is that what you're saying?
Maybe. I mean, I'm sure he'd take that.
I 100% do. Like, let's not get it twisted. Now, oh, okay. Now, for throwing that in there, the age change.
Okay, so now there's a higher range. Okay, let's say this. All right, let's screw it. Ashes can wait. Let's say this woman has.
How old is Justin Verlander?
I know he's older than Kate. He's got like 10 years on her. Shout out to Justin Verlander. He did well. But, okay, let's say this woman has $5 million. How old could she be? How old could she be, Sean? I feel like it's over 40.
I'm doing a lot of math here.
How old can you tolerate?
Depends.
Depends on
the mileage.
Okay. All right. All right. Well. Now I'm going to really out personal conversations between us, but Selma Hayek is someone who's aged quite well, and yeah. we might have shared like, holy crap, look at her at this age. If Selma Hayek...
B-Mac, I'll tell you right now, I will date Selma Hayek. I would date Selma Hayek.
She's like 57,
yeah,
something like that?
Something.
She's right. Also like the 57? Prime example,
oh,
like
yeah,
the best example.
Well, yeah, for sure. I would say definitely north of 55. I could be off on the 57, but I would say definitely north of 55.
The collection of people I've Googled in the last like 30 minutes is crazy.
Whenever someone has to search or look at Sean's search history, it's going to be a very confusing few minutes.
58.
Wow. Selma, good for you. All right, so, oh, crap, it's 1:11. We're 1 minute from the break. All right, well, I guess let's carry the, let's go ahead and break here. We'll come back. We'll do our Justin Verlander. We have to mourn and celebrate the time and life of Justin Verlander as a Houston Astro on the other side of the break. And then we'll get into some Prize Picks on ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Up in horsey heaven, here's a thing. You trade your legs for angels' wings.
Broadcasting once live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, this is going to be hard to get through, but we got to have the memorial service now for Justin Verlander's time as a Houston Astro, which has come to an end.
5,000 candles in the wind.
Yeah, I don't think we have room for five. I don't think we're...
We can fit 5,000 candles in here.
I don't think we're...
This is a big room.
I don't think our fire grade...
Oh, absolutely not. I don't think there's a building in
code,
the world.
Code? I'm like, fire code? Is that what I'm looking for? I don't know if we can legally put like 5,000 candles in the studio.
Obviously not.
I don't care. We're rebels. We can do it anyway. But Justin Verlander, his time as an Astro officially, we think, for now, come to an end, we think.
Yeah, we've done... Because
we've gone down this road before.
I mean, we haven't done this
before. No, certainly not. We should have done it the last time, but... But he signs a one-year, $15 million contract with the San Francisco Giants, which, look, I get the Astros not trying to match that. He's the guy that declined in the second half of the last season. He's my age, and I don't think anyone wants me pitching to the Houston Astros, so I get it. But it's time to... I'm not even going to ask what you said. But it's time to look back on our fondest moments of Justin Verlander's time with the Houston Astros. So go ahead and start. We'll go around the room here and pay our tributes before we move on to our prize picks. But I think we got to start with his 2017 ALCS MVP, where there's no argument to me if Verlander isn't as good as he was in that series, and he was absolutely amazing as the ALCS MVP. He was 16 innings, one earned run during that series, 21 strikeouts across those 16 innings. If he doesn't pitch like that, you don't win your first World Series. So that's probably my favorite moment for Verlander, including shoving in Game 6. The Astros down 3-2. He got him back to the 3-3 tie. We obviously know what happened in Game 7 with Lance closing it out. John, what's my favorite Verlander?
I'll stay within the lines for one. The 2019 no hitter against the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah,
I think that was one where, and he did this a couple times. Obviously, he played 2022, 2023, 2024 for the Astros. But that was one where you're like, oh my god, this guy still has it. Like to. Like high levels.
Right, he's not just managing and getting by.
No, he can still throw a complete game no hitter.
Right, like, oh, well, his stuff's not there, but he locates and he's just smarter. Yeah. Like, no, he's still got gas and nasty stuff. And John, go ahead, sorry.
Where the F is Toro. That part was also funny.
John, what was your favorite Verlander moment?
Yeah, both of you bring up great Verlander. But I'm gonna go off the field. I think it was 2017 in that World Series run. There was a moment where the team was really down and like playing bad, and he was in the dugout like yelling. Do you remember that?
Yeah,
he was screaming at the team, getting the team kind of motivated and up and going. That and then also the Jose Altuve. I literally love Justin Verlander.
That was a good moment. Very good moment.
I guess it technically is inside the lines if he was standing in the field. The STFU Cora.
Yes. Yes. Oh, damn it. You stole my next one.
Oh, and then
stole my next one.
Where's when he yelled?
Yeah, where's Toro?
Where's Toro? Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, yeah. He's you see, like, he's trying to like have a conversation. It's not being received. He's like, bleep you, man. It was amazing.
I think it was bleep you, Cora? I thought it was STFU. Cora.
Yeah, maybe one of the two. But Verlander. I don't know if this was ever talked about as far as like what he had in his repertoire, but he had some red ass in him, like not like Clemens, Nolan Ryan level or something like that, but he had some
good amount.
Yeah, he had a good amount. I'll throw in another one quickly. If you have something else, let's throw him in as well, and I'll check the listener line. But I'll mention the 2022 season where he obviously comes back and coming off of Tommy John. Where he misses the entire 2021 season and all but one start of the 2020 season, comes back, gets you to a World Series, gets you to obviously wins his first ever World Series game, which has been something he hadn't been able to accomplish throughout his legendary career. And, by the way, included in that, he still got enough gas in the tank to win the Cy Young and post a sub-2 ERA.
Yeah, no, that's that. I mean, that year is probably like the. That is what, like, 100% cements him as, like, not just he was a Hall of Famer before he ever played for the Astros, but, like, a Astros legend, too. Because
he had someone that might have his number retired or something.
Yeah, he had that second act as, like you mentioned, like, an absolute horse.
Yeah. Man, see, now you say horse, I'm thinking, God, I thought I was going to get through this with no tears, but you say horse, and now got to think about little Sebastian's gone. Yeah. Verlander's gone from our lives. Everyone around us is dying, Sean. Bye. Turn it up, Johnny.
Little Sebastian. You're 5,000 candles in the wind.
Oh, thank you, Andy Dwyer. All right. Any other quick memories before we move on to our prize fix?
Healthy
John,
part
Sean?
Of the grieving part. No, I'm good.
All right, so... With the mourning of Justin Verlander's time in Houston over, we now move on to something a little more fun, a little more excited, something, might you say, a little more hyped. It's time for our prize picks.
We don't get hype. We stay hype.
You know it, bro.
It's time for the prize picks here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 as a part of the Hype Train. Sean, what is your first prize picks this week?
First one this week, I'll go with a Chargers-Texans related one.
Are you going to be a trainer?
No.
Okay, good, good.
Kyme Fairbairn and Cameron Dicker more than
kicker, the kicker, yeah,
more than 3.5 field goals made.
Ooh, I like that. Okay, yeah, I like that.
I think
that.
We get two from you.
This feels like a bend but don't break, settle for field goals type of game.
Yeah,
I like that.
I was trying to read that in the field, the combined field goal yardage.
What is it? Do you have in front of you?
I'd have to.
No, that's fine. We don't have to dig that deep into it. I actually will be a trader for my first pick. I am taking more than 5.5 catches for Ladd McConkey. He's had 5 or more in 5 straight games, so you're basically getting him at his floor. And his average over that time, because he's had three of those games where he's been well over the 5 catches, like he's had a 9-catch game, 10-catch game. His average over the last 5 is 6.6, so give me more than 5.5 catches for Ladd McConkey.
I looked up I do like that. I'm in. I looked up the Dicker Fairbairn yardage.
Oh, the yardage, yeah.
It is. Would it surprise you if I said it's the highest among all games?
No,
the,
it would
games?
Not surprise me at all. This does feel like a field goal game, like a field goal. The kickers will have a big role in this.
128.5.
128.5.
Yeah. If you pencil in like a 50.
Well, like in your scenario, we get 4 field goals because you had over 3.5.
It's easy.
It's easy because they'd only have to average like 30-something yards.
You can get there with 3, honestly.
So yeah, you can get a 50. Yeah, yeah, especially
50 and 240s.
I mean, I don't know how far Dicker's taking on the average, but certainly we know Fairbairn's got, it's like an 8-9 50-plus yard field goals. I know he's got the NFL record, but man, yeah, I like the higher number for both of those. What is your next prize pick, sir?
Next one, I'm going to Tampa Bay and Washington. I'm going with, again, a combined Mayfield Daniels more than 488 passing yards.
Okay,
488.5.
About 240 apiece. I think this is
the game that most screams shootout to me. This is the one that screams neither of these teams can really stop each other.
Yeah, Tampa Bay's defense has certainly taken a step back this year. And Washington, the only place I worry, this kind of feeds into my next pick. But the only thing that would have me worry with Tampa being the home team and Washington having like the weakest run defense of the teams in the playoffs.
They just run it with Bucky.
Exactly, and that's why I like two different numbers for Bucky this week. Both with his rushing yards, which was 91.5, is where I got it at, and then 16.5 rushing attempts. So he's had 15 or more carries in 4 straight, including 19 and 20 in his last 2. So same thing with Ladd, you're kind of getting him at his floor. And then he's been over 100 yards in 2 of his last 4, the number again, 91.5. And one of the games where he wasn't over 100, he was at 89, so right at the number. You're kind of getting him. If this is, you know, Tampa Bay favored, home team, second half run the ball because you're up,
yeah,
this feels like you're getting him at his 4, but for both his carries, again, 16.5, and then his yards, 91.5.
So carries and yards.
Yeah, I would take either. The one I actually bet was his carries. I just because when I actually bet this on the other side, but when you bet it, you have to choose one or the other. Like
you can't put the same player
for 2 different. So I went ahead and went rushing attempts, but I think yards is in play too.
Okay, yeah, I like that one. I like that one. It is kind of negatively correlated with mine a little bit, but not crazy.
I mean, if it's the shootout that you expect, it might not.
Yeah,
be.
You. We could all make.
I mean, you could get your yards, and you know, early in the game. Well, not early in the game, but you know, through the first 3 quarters, and then Bucky gets his rushing attempts in the 4th quarter.
And with something like this, as long as they're both kind of keeping up, you're always like, okay, in the 4th quarter, one of these 2 are going to have to start throwing it a lot,
right?
So you're going to get the yards later. Like you're always in to get the yards later.
Definitely.
I'll do another one. Lamar Jackson, quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens.
I've heard of him. You think I forgot who he was? Thank you for telling me. Baltimore Ravens.
They are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers.
What? They're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They've had a lot of good defenses in their years.
Sure.
Terry Bradshaw. I'll tell you about
Terry Bradshaw. Yeah. Did he ever do anything? He won a Super Bowl. What about Franco Harris? He ever like a, I don't know, like a crazy reception at one point?
Someone called him back. Give me Lamar Jackson. Give me longest rush over 15.5.
Ooh, yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Maybe
like
this
that.
Is a little bit of seeing him against the Texans and seeing him against.
Well, that's unfair.
Seeing him
I'm
against
not gonna
the
put
Browns.
That on the Steelers.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think maybe I'm more into it. I'm like, yeah, he's definitely going to have a 20-something yard run. But I still even still think that this could be a game. I kind of envision it where it is Baltimore is kind of outplaying the Steelers, but they can't quite break away. So they're going to have to need Lamar to at some point make a big play with this.
Sure. Yeah, that makes sense. And I'll transition to mine because these two, I'll combine them because they're targets for Lamar Jackson. But I think with Zay Flowers out for this game, it is a positive thing if you want to make plays on either Rashad Bateman or Mark Andrews. So I put both of these in my lineup. For Rashad Bateman, 3.5 receptions is his line. Without Zay Flowers, I think Rashad Bateman is going to be heavily involved. Last week when the Ravens played, obviously Zay Flowers out there as well. Or he got hurt early in the game. I forget.
He got hurt probably second quarter.
Okay. Rashad Bateman ended up with 5 catches in that game. I think Bateman's going to be involved enough for 3.5 catches without Zay Flowers. And the other part of that, I mentioned Mark Andrews. I went with this anytime touchdown. I don't like the overall target volume for him. 6 straight games with a touchdown for Mark Andrews. You know he's their red zone guy. Really, with or without Zay Flowers, I would take this even if Zay Flowers is in. Certainly helps if Zay Flowers is out because that makes probably without a doubt Andrews the number one read when they get down to the red zone if they're going to pass and not hand it off to Derrick Henry. But give me more on Bateman's catches 3.5 and an Andrews anytime touchdown.
I like those. I like both those. You want to do one more?
Yeah, I've got one more.
Okay. This is one that you asked me if I was considering it earlier in the show, and okay. I had to keep a poker face.
Oh.
Yes, I have considered it actually, right? Justin Herbert, rushing yards.
Okay.
More than
okay.
19.5.
Yeah.
I feel like you get a couple scrambles. You get a few scrambles probably.
I don't know what his average is. I think on the season he had 300, 350 yards. So he's not a prolific runner.
He's not
Lamar. There's not a lot of design runs, as I think we talked about in that segment earlier in the show. But certainly you can see a situation where the Texans are in man. They drop back. They don't have eyes on Herbert. Then, Herbert takes off. And, hell, he could get this in one run for you. So I like that.
Yeah, and again, you think bringing a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
The Texans are going to pressure him. It's going to lead to more scramble.
Yeah, no, I like that one quite a bit. My last one is with the Rams-Vikings games. One, Puka Nacua cannot be stopped. I mean, I think that's just the first part of this.
He also has a really good quarterback,
though. Who's not as good as Bo Nix. That's been well established,
didn't
by
take
the way.
Troy Franklin.
Clearly, I know what well established.
Didn't take Mims.
But Puka Nacua can't be stopped, and the weakest part of the Vikings' defense has been their secondary, their pass defense. We've seen that throughout the year. Teams can't run on the Vikings, but they can pass on them. Now, part of that is because they can't run, so they just decide to pass, and part of it is they're not great against the pass.
And the Vikings won 13 games, and so...
People are behind, yeah, so... And all that could play into factor here. So Puka Nacua's line, I would actually be fine with either his line for receptions or yards. His line for receptions is 7.5, which these numbers are high, but 7.5 for his receptions. He's been over that in 4 of his last 5 games. And the one where he didn't get that, he was at 7. So he was just half a reception under. This, again, you're getting him at his floor. And then his yards is 87.5. Which he's been over that in 3 of his last 4 games. So, again, both the catches, 7.5 receptions, or receptions, 7.5, in yards, 87.5. I think you're getting Puka Nacua at his floor. So, give me – I the one I played was receptions, but I think both are alive.
Yeah. I think I –
You prefer yards?
Well, it's
I guess less variables. You could have the one big play and you don't need anything else.
That's kind of what I'm thinking because it is
– That's fair.
It has
that's
to
fair.
Be more – consistent throughout the game where this can be 2 big plays and you're there. But I do like both of them. I think I just like yards it over.
Gotcha. All right. Well, that'll do it for this segment here for the Hype Train. Now coming up next is the Mount Rushmore Plus One segment you've been waiting for when ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5 returns. Don't go anywhere.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
throughout the course of human history, singular moments have shaped who we are, who we'll become, and even the world as we know it. Some men discovered new worlds.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
One man advocated for the need to hire a contractor.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Others put pizza on a bagel.
When pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime.
These courageous men gazed upon a monument and asked, what if we add one more? This is Mount Rushmore plus one.
Welcome in, Houston, to the best part of your weekend. It is time for the award-winning, groundbreaking, sports radio landscape-changing Mount Rushmore Plus One segment that will someday get the three of us, and Cam too, if he's not lazy, into the Sports Radio Hall of Fame. And yes, that is a reference to our man, Not Santa, on Twitter, who asked if Clutch City Cam Smith is being lazy today. The answer is yes.
I don't think he's being lazy. I think he's just scared of being ganged up on 3-on-1 by three Texans fans and Chargers fans.
You think Cam is running scared?
Yeah, scared of the grind.
Scared of the grind? He didn't rise and grind this.
Yeah, he's running.
Monday, hashtag Monday motivation.
Keep that in mind.
He's not about it. All right, let's get into our Mount Rushmore Plus One. I feel like I should go first this week since I got banned last week. And I had to, you know, Johnny. I took one too many shots at Johnny's misfortune with his cell phone and all his accounts being hacked. And Johnny, you know, he decided. Look, I respect the decision. I'm not Ben DeBose. I don't blame the referees. So I got slapped in the wrist. I'll take it. You know,
okay.
Again, hand up, tap the chest. That was on me. So
he learned his lesson.
I learned my lesson.
Welcome back, B-Man.
By the way, how is everything going with that? You
still going?
Still going? Man.
It's still different things every day. Yeah.
Oh, my heart goes out to you, Johnny. I will not make the same mistakes.
My heart will go on.
Yeah.
Near,
exactly.
Far, wherever you are.
What Sean said, ditto, yes. Anyway, so I'll go first since I didn't get to give a list last week. But I'm actually going to give a list different than what I would have given last week because I feel like that list has to be dead now since I got banned.
Oh,
I don't know. Maybe I'll bring it back in the future.
Evil list that deserves to be buried.
It feels cursed. Like I feel like I have to bury it, burn some sage. You know,
it's got bad vibes now. You can't do that today.
There's some bad juju there. So this list is themed for the current weather pattern of it being too cold. I'll just go on record, too cold. These are things that are either better cold or better than you think cold, and or at least like something that you wouldn't, that's not traditionally
counterintuitively
cold. Yeah, exactly. That's not traditionally served cold, but you like it cold.
Okay.
All right.
I like this.
There we go.
First one,
I think we can all agree. This is, I think, a fairly popular one. Pizza.
Cold pizza?
I'm not saying I necessarily, it's not my first choice. I'd rather have it hot out of the oven. But I don't mind, especially like a pepperoni pizza. I don't know why that's better than the other ones. But pepperoni pizza cold, I like it. I like it a lot.
I agree.
It's better than, like, I'd rather have it cold than if I only had time to microwave it because that doesn't come out right. I'd rather just eat it cold.
Yeah, because when you're microwaving a cold pizza, a lot of times you have to overshoot it just so it gets warm. Because there's always that spot in the middle where it's still frozen.
Right.
Or it's not frozen, but it's still, like, actually cold.
Yeah.
And so you do have to, like...
The crust doesn't come out right.
The crust gets messed up. So you have to overshoot it and then wait for it to cool off or just burn your mouth. Like,
like a man.
But the frozen...
That's so unnecessarily masculine.
No, I didn't say like a man. I said like I.
No, I know. I'm thinking what I said. Okay. Yeah.
Well, you know, you're from a different generation.
No, same generation. It's well established.
I think frozen takes that out, and it's still, again, I think it's the pepperoni. It, like, retains its flavor.
Yeah, something about pepperoni makes it even.
Probably the spice.
Do you agree with this, Johnny? Do you like this?
Yes, but only for breakfast. Like, you got to take it fresh, ice cold, out of the fridge.
That's a key factor. Good job by you.
All right, next one. I think this one will be more controversial.
Okay.
But my reasoning is the same because I don't think it reheats well. Like it's fried chicken. Like, I don't think the breading.
This is controversial.
I don't. I like. the breading doesn't hold up in the microwave. Like, if you want to take the time to do the whole oven thing, okay, that's probably better. Or better, or if you have an air fryer, that's obviously better.
Yes.
But compared to cold or microwave, I'll take the cold fried chicken. I like it. I'm guessing by the looks that you guys are giving, you've never even tried this.
No.
I mean, I have.
Oh, you have?
Definitely had it. It's definitely been like a thing at my house. But it's not something that I want to do or will do. Like, fried chicken has to be crunchy and juicy. You're not going to get either one of those when it's cold.
But when it's microwaved, like, the breading tends to fall off.
That's why you don't.
You'll still get juicy.
If it's not fresh, hot, you don't eat it. You just throw it away.
Okay, so you're dog
food. Food waste over here.
Now, I would be, like, on French fries. Like, French fries, you can never reheat them.
French fries,
they're in the trash. But fried chicken, I think, is fine.
I don't think it is.
Okay. All right. You guys aren't with me with that one. Next one on the list, also food, mac and cheese.
Really?
Yeah. Try it. It's.
I've had it. I don't.
Okay.
I don't
really, so you've had it cold.
It doesn't really jump out to me as that.
I like it cold. I would.
Something about the consistency gets messed up.
But there's something about, and maybe it depends the way the mac and cheese is made. But there's something about the gloopiness when it gets cold. It all kind of like clumps together. Like it.
Yeah.
It kind of condenses the cheesiness in a way.
I like the thick mac and cheese, but I like it when it's hot. When it's cold, it just
you like gets, it thick and hot.
Who doesn't? But when it gets cold, it just the consistency, like, it's a very delicate balance, and it's just right on the wrong side of it. But
look, I would still prefer it, obviously, you know.
Yeah, the taste doesn't change, really.
No, and I don't think it's mac and cheese actually isn't bad in the microwave, but I do like it cold. Yeah. I do like it cold. Johnny, you in on this?
It's not as bad as the fried chicken.
All right.
But I mean,
fried chicken's still
bad. I'm still out on cold mac and cheese overall.
Okay, all right.
Is it like a Chick-fil-A sandwich with the fried chicken? Or
no, I'm talking more
like a drumstick.
Yeah, like not KFC specifically, because
like a family bucket, and you got a couple pieces like a left over in the fridge.
Yeah, exactly.
And I can't do a cold drumstick.
Okay, all right. I'm just saying, try it once.
I won't.
All right. Well, anyway, this one's a tie. They're both kind of candy cookie-ish here.
What the hell?
I mean,
plus two?
Yeah. You know, we make our own rules.
Okay.
You
know
make the rules, we break them, Sean. Shout out to Generation X.
I mean, you didn't get to do one last week.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. So I still owe you four more after this.
I'll let you cook, but don't use any heat. Don't use any heat while you're cooking.
I won't, because these things are good cold. This is a tie again. Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Yep.
And Girl Scout Thin Mint Cookies.
Yep.
Both are, like, I prefer, like, this
is... I was going to say, these get better cold.
Yes, exactly. Like, the other one, like, everything else before this, it's not that it gets better cold. I'm fine with it cold. This I'm intentionally putting it in the refrigerator.
Yeah. No. I 100% agree. One of the best parts about our... new, or it's not even new anymore, but the vending machine that we have now,
it's refrigerated,
is that it's refrigerated for the drinks that are in there. But there's also, I don't think it's in there right now, but they cycle through the candy.
I'm gonna check.
And there will be a Reese's Cups in there. And since it's refrigerated next to the soda, it stays cold. So you get like a cold, it's not like quite like you left it in the fridge, but it's still on the cool side. And I way prefer
it's
that.
So better. Johnny, you with this one?
100% on board with both of them.
Okay,
yep.
very good.
Especially the Girl Scout cookies. But those really
those
get better cold.
So
yeah,
good. They do. That's so good. Hey, that's coming up pretty soon. About a month from now,
right around the corner.
Yes, right around the corner. Reason for the season: Thin Mints. Quickly, favorite Girl Scout cookie is the Thin Mints.
No, the peanut butter ones.
Yeah, those peanut butter ones are pretty good. Yeah, Johnny.
The peanut butter.
Peanut butter, yeah. Those are better for refrigerated, too. All right, last thing on my Mount Rushmore plus one of things that are better or best cold, revenge. Revenge is a dish best served cold.
Okay.
Revenge!
When you thought of things that are good cold, just be honest. First was pizza. Second was revenge.
Yes, 100%. Okay. You see right through
then,
me.
And then
I had to fill out the rest of the list.
Yes, and that's how we got fried chicken and mac and cheese. Got it. That's almost a meal. Fried chicken and mac and cheese is like a meal.
Johnny, he saw right through me. That's 100% what happened. I was cold. I was like, you know, I like pizza cold. Revenge. Now I need three
only
more.
Only three more. Okay. three new ones.
Although, come on, you agree with me on Reese's and Girl Scout Thin Mints, so.
Yeah, you had three that I
think you mostly push back on the fried chicken.
Yeah, you have three that I unambiguously agree with pizza, the candy,
and
revenge. one that I'm like, not for me, but I see it with mac and cheese, and one I don't see it with fried chicken.
All right, Johnny, what is your Mount Rushmore plus one, sir?
Yes, so I didn't realize that I was going to make one this week, so this is kind of a throw together. Sean earlier in the show said something about being extremely hungry, and it made me think of
I am extremely hungry.
My top five game day foods.
You know what? I'm also hungry.
Yes, I am also hungry. But today is game day, yes. So it made me think about the foods here in a way that maybe we can make Sean more hungry. So this is my...
These are both food related.
They
food
are.
Food and revenge.
I hope yours is also, to keep the trend here.
It's not.
But I did my Mount Rushmore plus one of my playoff game day foods. Number five, I know people around here love their HEB. I'm going with the HEB brisket queso dip.
Yes.
At number five.
Elite. Right when you said HEB, I was like, you better mention
that's
brisket
it.
Queso.
Elite.
Got
yes.
It.
It is elite. And you got to do the right type of chips. I'll say my favorite is the cheddar and sour cream flaming hot combination that Lay's makes. That's amazing.
Yeah, I don't really like the flavored chips if I'm dipping queso. I just like want tortilla
like a
chips.
Tortilla chip?
Yeah.
I'll do a Dorito.
No, I'm out on that.
Oh, yeah.
What else you got, Johnny?
Number four, I'm going with sliders.
Yeah.
Because they're pretty
unique. Make
sliders
later today.
Yeah. You can do a burger. You can do chicken. You can do whatever you want. Number three, I went with one of my personal favorites, a chili cheese dog, but it has to be all beef, a hot dog, chili and cheese.
You don't get down with swine?
A little bit of mustard. Not really, no. There's a long story behind that.
We don't got time.
Number two, this is going to be controversial because I know the argument and I don't care. Boneless wings
or
at number
nuggets.
Two, boneless chicken wings.
Chicken nuggets.
Okay. Long as they're hot.
What do you want to say? Exactly.
Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong.
They're hot. Lungs you're eating.
Oh, see, that's you throwing shade. Look, I will eat. If I was coming over, I would definitely eat the quote unquote boneless wings. But let's be real, they're chicken nuggets. They're not wings.
Also, now that I thought, I always would heat up boneless wings that I would get in college because we would get a lot of them and then just have them for lunch the next day. Yeah, I never ate them cold. I never even thought about eating them cold.
Try it. That's all I'm saying. Johnny, what's your number one?
Number one, I went with you can't just do the cheap stuff. You have to do like a premium nachos from somewhere that does it right with like everything. Yeah.
Now that could go along with your brisket queso. You can turn that into
brisket nachos.
You could turn that into nachos. Yeah. So there's some feng shui there amongst your list there. Main event mapes. Main event this bad boy.
There's a sporting event that we haven't talked about that happened yesterday. Happened last night, to be specific.
I don't recall. No, nothing comes to mind.
The Texas football Longhorns lost a game to the Ohio State Buckeyes.
I don't recall that happening.
Late in the game, Texas was driving, and they're on the 1 yard line. Second down and goal from the 1-2 yard line. They called a toss play. My Mount Rushmore +1 is of plays I would have called instead of a sweep on the 2 yard line against Ohio State in the college football semifinals.
Anything!
By far the longest title that I've ever had for a Mount Rushmore +1. First down, they ran a halfback dive.
With a bunch of defensive linemen in, yeah.
I would have ran another one.
Yeah.
Instead.
100%.
I would have called a fullback dive.
Yeah, I would
instead
have
of a sweep. I would run another RPO because Ohio State defensive backs couldn't stop grabbing Texas receivers. I would have called a quarterback sneak.
Mm, yeah, that one popped in my mind. Right, you're on the 1 yard line, sneak it.
Instead of the
big boys from the defensive lineman leading,
Jared? It was Gibson.
Gibson, yeah. Jared Gibson?
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so. Which, by the way, that was kind of giveaway when you put in Gibson.
Yep.
But so that's a whole other thing. But instead of them being in front, leading Gibson in, just put him behind Ewers, help him push him into the end zone.
Yep. And last one, Arch Manning.
Yeah. It worked. Now, he didn't technically. Well, actually, he did. Yeah, he did carry. It was the snap because
snap through the legs.
Yeah, snap through the legs of the tight end, Gunnar Helm. That'll do it for our Texas Longhorns Ohio State conversation here on the Bullpen. ESPN Radio.
That was the saddest Mount Rushmore Plus ever.
We were talking about cold fried chicken. Johnny's hyping us up with brisket queso, and then Sean brings us down.
I did this list.
Maybe you should have main evented today.
Is by far the longest title I've ever had for one. Probably by far the shortest time I've ever spent making one. It took.
Did you make
zero.
It right after it happened? Sawyer was running to the end zone?
It was after the game. But okay. It was very fast. Not everyone's as good at play callers, man.
Sark. Was he kneeling down as he called that play?
He was kneeling down on the fumble return for a touchdown.
Of course he was. It's always a bad sign. All right. How do we move on? How do we get our life together? We get our life together because the Texans are going to beat the Chargers this in a couple hours here. But we also get it together by talking about our worst people in sports and what we love from sports this week. That when the Bullpen returns, ESPN Radio 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here are the producers of ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back in. Final segment of the show today for this edition of the Bullpen. Again, Brian McDonald, Sean Mates, and John Belmer with you here. We close it out with the worst people in sports this week and what we love from sports this week. Sean, who is your worst person in sports this week?
My worst person in sports this week is Major League Baseball.
Oh.
The person Major League, known as
Major League Baseball?
Yes. For banning the two Yankee fans that grabbed Mookie Betts' wrist during the World Series from all MLB stadiums indefinitely.
What? They got a lifetime ban?
Lifetime ban from MLB. Come on.
Man, I expected. Free them. Maybe
free
like
these two random guys.
Like a one-year thing, maybe, but a lifetime ban like, specifically Yankee Stadium.
Sorry, I'm not that mad at it. You can't do that.
You just hate.
I mean, he did. They did do that.
They did do that.
You can do
they
that.
They did. I encourage everyone else to now make sure to seek out Mookie Betts and try to steal his glove.
You're part of the game. Everyone always thinks
you're part
the
of the problem, John.
Everyone always thinks the fans says how important they are until they actually do something.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of the 12th man, John?
Okay.
12th man was trying to win that game.
That's football.
They're trying to win that game, John.
A 10th man.
Speaking of football, my worst person in sports this week is Mr. Toss Play out of a pistol on second and two.
That's ugly.
Second and one. That's my worst person in sports this week. All right. Enough of that, though. Let's stop swimming around with the anger sharps. Let's go ahead and doggy paddle over to the Sea of Tranquility and talk about the things we love from sports this week. Sean, what did you love from sports this week?
I love academic opportunities, Brian.
Are we talking Carson Beck? What are we talking here?
We're talking, no, well, I could talk about Carson Beck. I'm talking about a different person that transferred in the transfer portal recently. He's transferred a lot. He went from Nicholls State to Louisiana State University to UTSA to Louisiana Tech, and now he's going to Incarnate Word.
How long of a time period are we talking about?
I have no idea. This is just the graphic that I see in front of me. His name, well, it's not his name. He's a position player, defensive back. Named Pig Cage. And I am now showing BMAC the graphic.
That is indeed a defensive back named Pig Cage.
Pig?
That sounds like
Cage.
That sounds like a torture that Johnny would have endorsed last week when he's talking about the people that stole his identity.
Yeah. So Pig Cage.
Pig Cage.
My thing I love, person I love.
How did Sark miss out on that one?
I don't know.
We should have. Pig Cage needs to be on the 40 acres, damn it.
I don't know. I don't like – that one's not as good as some of the other ones. I'd be changing my name if my name was Pig Cage.
Pig Cage. I don't know, man.
I do think defensive back is a surprising one. This will be short, I guarantee you. I would like it more if it was like an offensive guard or something. A guard,
I don't know, like
or,
if you're
or
defensive
tackle,
back,
Pig Cage.
You're trying to
– pulling around the corner?
Hold on. What is a defensive back trying to do? Trying to lock people down? You put them in the cage.
That's a good point. You know,
now, Pig Cage makes it a little weird, but
you
do want to put him in a cage.
I think it's just Pig. I expect a bigger person.
That's fine. Yeah, the Pig part offensive lineman, Cage defensive back.
Yeah,
that's the problem. Maybe he needs to be a two-way player. All right, The thing I love from sports this week, not technically sports, but I don't care because I need to pick me up after last night's game. Here is the, or a part of it, is the whole thing's like 3 minutes long, but a part of the new trailer for A Working Man, a Jason Statham movie. There's a man with a gun
over there. Where's the girl?
You a cop?
You wish I was a cop.
Hell yeah. I'm in. Like my tickets off that Brits.
Long. You ain't a cop. You're a working man.
That's right. Let's play.
Go in. Take my buddy.
Your blind war buddy that doesn't know he's blind?
That's the one.
If you shot a foot to the left, I'll be dead.
I wanted you dead, you'd be dead. I will be your weapon sommelier for this evening. This is the real beast here. M14. Pulled direct from Saddam's palace. Then I added a Bluetooth scope.
It's like every other line. This is like the best line of a trailer.
Yes.
He killed your way into this. You're going to have to kill your way out of it.
Yeah! Yes! Get him! Go!
Hey. Do this much.
Go ahead, cut it off. Cut it off. I'm looking directly at my camera here. Texans, today, you killed your way into this. You got to kill your way out. Quickly, we got 30 seconds left. Johnny, your prediction today, Chargers-Texans.
Texans 24, Chargers 21.
Sean.
Chargers 23, Texans 20.
Loser! I hate it. Texans 21, Chargers 17. Let's go! Play us out, Johnny.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.